Lord Jesus, I ask you to come now and have your way among us. Speak the word that will set us free. And then, Lord, that we would have the grace to receive it. Oh, that we would love you enough to accept what you have to say. Come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you turn to Matthew's, the 16th chapter. In verse 22. Peter had just received a revelation of who Jesus was. And right after that, Peter didn't want to accept the word anymore. He thought he knew a little something. Peter took him, verse 22, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee," because Jesus was talking about he's going to suffer. And Jesus said, "No, that's not the way this is going to work. That's not the religion I signed up for." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Because Peter wanted religion his way. He wanted to serve God according to his way, and he had figured it out what this was going to be about. In verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You may be seated. What will you give in exchange for your soul? I have three messages to preach. I'm going to start with the first one this morning. And usually when I preach, I start and I build up to it. But this morning, I'm going to start and give the climax right off the beginning. And the next couple of services, I kind of add to it. But I'm going to start. And the question I'm going to ask you, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? This message has been on my heart for 6 weeks. I gotta get it off. I ain't caring a word about it. If I'm here for three, if I preach too long, you need to go to lunch, you go to lunch. I'm gonna stay here till I'm done. Brother Jerry's been here, what, 18 or 19 years? Most of you have been sitting in here the whole time. If you're here and you're not born again, it's because you're playing church. If you're born again and you haven't surrendered something to God, it's because you're playing church. You're playing with eternal life. You're playing with God. You're playing with the rapture. What are you giving in exchange for your soul? What part of you can't you surrender? What part of you is too important to you? You want to serve God, but you want to do it your way. And you got every excuse in the book. Heard so many times, "I want to see my family saved. I want to see my family saved. I want to see my kids saved. I want to see this." No, you don't. Because if you did, you would come God's way. You want to see him saved. But brother and sister, you don't want to give it. You don't want to pay the price that it takes to see them saved. Because there's something you love more than seeing your family saved. There's something you'd rather hold on to than see your family saved. And you talk to me and you talk to Brother Jay, "I want to see my kids saved. I want to see my mom saved. I want to see this person saved." But yet you will hold on to this other thing, and it's more important to you than the souls of your own family. You're playing church. What are you giving in exchange for your soul? What would you rather have? Riding the fence. But in Revelations it says you're a lukewarm message believer. This age, a lukewarmness, right in the fence, and you refuse to go all the way one way or the other, and you're right in the fence, and you're lukewarm. You know what God says he does to you? He spews you out of his mouth. You know what that means? He will not use the ministry he gave you. Y'all have a ministry. You can't use it. And I've seen that happen right here in this church where people received a revelation from God, just like Peter did. And they were going on with God, and then they come to a point and they stop cold.
And God no longer uses them. God was using it and using it, and then they come to a point and they can't go any further, and God stopped and said, "You make me sick. You defile my body. You call yourself bride, and you come to this church, and you defile it with your nasty spirit." You don't want to see your family saved. You want to take them to hell with you. You won't be honest with yourself. You won't be honest with God. You won't be honest with the pastor. You won't be honest with anybody else. And you know what this does? This opens you up for deception. And you are being deceived by the religious spirits. It's self-deception. And you will stand on judgment day. Say, "I was deceived." And you're going to look at your thoughts and say, "Well, you wanted to be. Because you wouldn't be honest with yourself. Because you had it figured out. A different way. Just like Peter had it figured out a different way. And you weren't willing to die to yourself." Let's look at a player. Turn to Mark 10. We're going to look at someone who exemplifies exactly what I'm talking about. Mark 10 and 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. He kneeled to him and he asked, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God.'" He was acknowledging, he was forcing the rich young ruler to acknowledge. He was speaking to God. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Master, all these things I have observed from my youth.'" I've been a message believer. I've lived a good life. "And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me.' And he was sad at this saying, went away grieved, for he had great possessions." He had been a message believer from a youth. He had grown up in a message church. He knew what the prophet said. He knew everything. He came to one with a ministry. He recognized the voice of God speaking to him. And it told him, you know what? He knew something was wrong. He just, something inside each other. There's still something missing. There's still something missing. And some of you have been around the message your whole life. And you say, "Yeah, I know, but there's still something missing." And the voice of God has spoke to you over and over again. And you walked out of the doors grieved over and over, year after year, walking out of there grieved. Why? Because you didn't want to hear what the voice of God said. Just like him. How many times have you walked out of here upset? Walked out of here grieved? Walked out of here sad? Walked out of here flat out angry? Knowing it's the voice of God speaking, and you walked out grieved just like the rich young ruler, because you didn't like it. The price was too high. The price was too high. It didn't fit your religion. That rich young ruler was a good guy. He was a good man. He was a respected member of the church. He was considered a pillar in the church, a pillar in the community. He held offices in the church. How many times did he wake up at night and hear that voice? "One thing thou lackest." He tossed and he turned. And maybe he was worth $1 million when he talked to Jesus that time. But after that, he became richer. He was so blessed. His riches was flow over. And you know what he said? He said, "I had $1 million. I'll give $1 million to the poor. Surely that will take care of them." He gave $1 million to the poor. And he woke up the next night and he says, "One thing that lacketh." And then 5 years later, he said, "I'm going to get $5 million. And then I'm going to get more. I'm going to get millions and millions. Way more than I had at the time." And one day he So that same thing, he said, their soul is required. He had a heart attack. You know what? He heard that last thing before he passed from this to the next. He heard that voice say, one thing thou lackest. In hell, he lifted his eyes. He gave something. He had something that was worth more than his soul, worth more than his life. He says, if you save your life, you'll lose it. If you keep this life, you'll lose it. What are you giving in exchange for? What is worth more? Judgment day, I said, what were you thinking? If you miss the rapture, brother and sister, on judgment day, I would ask, what were you thinking? You sat there and you heard the same messages I heard. What were you doing? Didn't it matter? Here's life. Rich young Lord, here's life, here's death. You get to choose. And he looked at both of them. He said, I really want eternal life, but this means more. I really want to see my family saved. Talking to people who go to this church. Some of them aren't here, but they're still responsible for what's being said this morning. What are you giving in exchange for your soul, those of you who are doing this? What's more, what means more to you than eternal life? When I was thinking on this, I was trying to think of how you describe that. Someone who would choose death over life, sitting here knowing, in your right mind, knowing you can't be in your right mind. You can't be in your right mind. What is the word to say? Here you have life, and here you have death, and how do you choose death over life? What word describe? Stupidity, ignorant, dumb. These don't even come close. The closest I could get is you're insane. You're not in your right mind. You can't be in your right mind and choose death over life. Look around. You see the whole world. It's a culture of death. And we're sitting here seeing people's lives change. You're seeing people's lives change right here in our midst. And some of you haven't changed in years. You stopped cold because you ran up into something that you just couldn't pay the price. It meant too much. And you're currently choosing death over life. What is your excuse going to be? Well, I did as good as I could. That's going to take you to hell. Your best takes you to hell. You say, well, what more can I do? You can do what come God's way. His best will take you to heaven. That's why he died. God help us to understand that. That's why he died. Here, I'm looking at my watch already. I took it off. How often have you left this church upset about the way the service went? Well, I didn't mind what was preached. There was other things going on. Other people fulfilling their ministry also makes you upset. The way Brother Jerry does things in the church makes people upset. It's all the same thing, folks. You left this word upset over the preaching of the word, over the ministry of Christ. You are fulfilling the role, the characteristics of the rich young ruler. I've done it. Walked out of here so tore up I couldn't hardly stand. So have most of you. What were you thinking? What was I thinking? Oh, for the grace of God. Only thing I can say is you're insane if you continue to do this. I was insane when I walked out here. When the word of God is preached and I knew it was right, and I still walked out here all tore up because I didn't want to accept it. He said, but I'm very sincere. I'm sincere. Let me tell you something. You can be very sincere. I know all about sincerity, folks. I was very sincere for years and years trying to serve God. And you know what? I was trying to do it under my own understanding. And it took the preaching of the word to set me straight, to expose the deception of my own understanding of how to please God. And then the preaching itself wasn't enough. You know what had to happen next? I had to accept it. You have to accept it. Just hearing the preaching of the word isn't going to do it. If you don't accept it, it's just going to condemn you. You can be very sincere. Satan uses that sincerity to deceive you. I'm going to preach my opinion for just a second. This is my opinion, what I'm not ready to say. This is not the word. This is not the gospel. This is Phil Bontrager's thought. I believe there are two people in Dixon County who are responsible for keeping more people out, more message believers out of the rapture than anybody else in Dixon County. We'll just bring it right home. Two people in Dixon County who are more responsible for keeping the looks on your faces. It's funny. More people out of the rapture than any other two people in Dixon County. He said, well, these must be two very horrible people that keep message believers out of the rapture. Who would do such a thing? Well, the first one is your pastor. Brother Jerry is keeping more message believers out of the rapture than anyone else in Dixon County. You know why? Because their attitude is, I will not sit under that man. I will not sit under that ministry because they hate the ministry of Jesus Christ. How many message believers in Dixon County, they know Brother Jerry, they heard him one time, and some of them have never even heard him preach, and they still hate him. And on Judgment Day, when they say, why didn't you go in the rapture? Why did you go in that church? And their only thing is, I couldn't stand that man. Yeah. It's true. So you know, you understand I'm being facetious. Because here's the thing. Honest makes me happy. If Brother Jerry's, let me just calm down. If Brother Jerry's ministry produces one person rapture, just one, then it was a correct ministry. Amen. And nobody else has an excuse for missing the rapture. And I'm going in the rapture, so nobody has an excuse.
Amen.
I'm going.
Praise God.
The rest of you don't go. You ain't going to hinder me. And I'm going to stand on Judgment Day, and you can stand there with all your excuses. I'm going to say, yeah, work for me. And you live such a little
book. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm going, brother and sister. How do I know? Because I see the difference God is making in me. There's no way he can take Christ off this earth without taking me with him. Because I have become one with the word. And some of you have too. And some of you have an excuse why you haven't. I understand why people think that about Brother Jerry. My own nature does too. And yours, I don't care how born again you are, your own sticky nature hates the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is. It's an enemy to it. The Bible says it is. Oh. And your own nature sits here and sometimes says, man, this is grating. This is rough. And your new nature is saying, thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for ministering to me. Thank you for the word that sets me free.
Yes.
Yeah, fight that battle instead of the one where you're trying to live good enough. Fight that battle instead of the one where you're over here doing the best I can. Whiny babies. Excuses. You know why people don't like the ministry of Jesus Christ? Because they can't control it. Exactly right. How many people have tried to control Brother Jerry since he's been here? You know why he's gone through so many of his physical ailments and all that? The stress of people trying to control the way this church is run and him having to stand there firm against all those spirits pummeling him. And some of them from the very supposedly pillars of this church. They ain't pillars. They're not. A pillar stays steady no matter what's going on. A pillar crumbles, that crumbles, and the sand washes away when things get a little rough. And then they start whining and complaining because things aren't going the way they want. They sit out of church and pout. They get on the phone and they complain about the way this is going on and that's going on. And they get their family involved and they get everyone else involved and they try to drag everyone down with them. You call yourself a pillar? Your pillar is salt. You've turned back like Lot's wife. You started, but you turned back because you didn't like where the Holy Spirit was leading. Each one wants their own Messiah, but they want it the way they can control it. They want to have control over this Messiah. Sure, if God was sent it in their own taste, they certainly would accept it. But you see, God knew their needs. He's not promised to send us our wants, but what, not what we asked for, but our needs. They wanted a general that got a baby. They needed a baby, what? To humiliate them, to humble them. That's why God sends you the pastor, to humble you. You don't get to run the church. This ain't your church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. He's running the show. You know what Brother Brown said that's a characteristic of? A make-believer. Judas. Judas got humiliated. When that lady came and she broke that alabaster box and all that expensive perfume, and he said, we should have saved this and used that and sold it and had money to feed the poor. Isn't that what the world is doing? Oh, we're going to feed the poor. It's all about social justice. We could use this money for that. We could have done this. We could do this. And Jesus said, don't rebuke her. This is much better than what you're thinking. And it bothered Judas because he got rebuked in public in front of everybody. He said, I'm going to prove to you, Jesus. I'm going to have you. I'm going to show you. You don't want to stand up. You don't want to take. I'm going to force you to. You're going to stand up and be the Messiah we wanted you to be. So he sold him. Trying to control how God runs his church. Peter tried it earlier. Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. Peter, oh no, it's not going to happen. You know what other characteristics of a make-believer? There are those who wouldn't turn back. They believe the word. As long as you stay in the word, they believe it. But when it comes a little contrary, no matter how much God identifies it, contrary to what they believe, they say, well, I don't know about that. That's the unbeliever. Or do you follow along? Now, that was the unbeliever. You understand? They get to a point, I don't know, and they leave. He said, now, here's a make-believer. Do you follow along just to see till you can get a chance to say, aha, here you are, a Judas to stab somebody in the back like he did. I knew it would come out sooner or later. There you are. That's the make-believer. How many people have sat around waiting for Brother Jerry to fall? Looking for a mistake to justify not surrendering completely to the ministry. You know why? Because we look at the history of Dixon and all the pastors we've had down through there. They've all failed. They've done this, they've done that. And so what do? We hold back. We don't surrender that ministry because we've got enough common sense not to. Because he's going to fall like all the rest. You think your common sense is greater than Satan's deception? You think you're smart enough not to be deceived? You're deceived already. Well, I'm just going to wait because Brother Jerry's going to make mistakes. Yes, he is. He's made a lot of mistakes. He's a human being. Now, all of those of you who haven't made a mistake are no longer human. Go ahead and stand up. Seriously, I'm going to show you in a minute that some people think there's a person in here who's superhuman. I'm going to prove it to you in just a little bit. There are some people in Dixon County that think that a person sitting in this church is superhuman. He controls. They have no choice. Just stick around a little bit. Remember the story of the boy in the mirror? He had never seen a mirror before. He sees one. After a while, he recognizes it's me. And this is what Brother Bram says about that. He said, he pecked on the glass. He turned around. His parents were watching. He said, Mama, that's me. Now you're looking on this one. This mirror. The word. Which one is you? You're one of them. That's one of them. One that would turn back the first flaw he found that you called a flaw. All I'm doing is holding up the mirror of the word and saying, are you this person that I'm describing? Are you the rich young ruler? Are you the make-believer? Are you the Judas? Because see, what happens is Satan takes that mirror and he fogs it over with your excuses so you can't see clearly. This morning, you're going to see clearly. And you're in the valley of decision this morning, and this might be the last time you're in this valley, but you are going to make a choice. You are going to look in the mirror, and you're going to see clearly this morning what you are. And you are going to choose again. And you're going to walk out of that door free, or you're going to walk out of that door grieved. You are going to fulfill the word this morning. You either get stronger or you get weaker. He said, this is deep now. Don't run over the top. Your present state right now proves to you what group you have been back there. Now you're your own judge. Prove what you are. Now, there's a second person in Dixon County who, in my opinion, is keeping more people out of the rapture than anyone else. It ain't me. See, I have an easy job here. Anything that I preach goes back to Brother Jerry, and people blame Brother Jerry. Why do you let Brother Phil preach? Brother Jerry takes the heat from that. I don't. If they have a complaint, I can just say, go talk to your pastor about it. He asked me to preach. Second person is Brother David. There are more people in Dixon that hate Brother David than anyone else I know, so-called message believers. Oh, they don't think they hate him, but their actions prove they do, including his family. Now, David, I want you to stand up. David, I want you to jump up. I want you to fly around the room just like Superman.
Can't you do that, brother?
You can't? Can you at least just jump up and touch the ceiling and come back?
Can't do that, brother.
You're immortal like the rest of us?
Exactly, brother.
You're not a Superman.
No, I'm not.
You're not a superhero.
No, sir.
Well, what kind of superpowers do you have?
None, but the Holy Ghost.
Well, sit down then. David's a human being, and yet some people make him the most important person in their life. That's a God. Because there are people in this county who are not going in the rapture because of David Horner. They need to put up a brass or a gold statue and come down and kiss his feet. They need to go and kneel at his feet and ask, oh, God, David. I am not joking. Because if you look at what he does and it keeps you out of the rapture, he has become more important to you than Jesus Christ. He has become your God. And there are people who are not even in church this morning because they have made David the most important person in their life because he affects them so bad. And you know what's being affected? Their pride. It's true. How would you like to stand on Judgment Day and God said, why did you miss the rapture? Well, it was David Horner's fault. And God's going to turn and look at David and go, by the way, David's going to be there judging you. He goes, look, David, he was just fulfilling the ministry I gave him. It made me mad. He humiliated me. He embarrassed me. Oh, also was your pride. And you allowed that. You looked at eternal life and you looked at humiliation. Oh, I'm sorry. Humiliation's over here. I can have eternal life with some humiliation, or I can have death and not be humiliated. Let me ask you this. By resisting what David is doing, by having a problem, have you changed his behavior? Have you controlled him? He said, well, if he would stop that, I'd be fine. I'm glad you said that. See, here's the real reality of that. If he would stop that, you wouldn't have to overcome. You haven't overcome anything. You know why God has David doing some of these things? It's to expose the idolatry in your life. It's to expose it. It's a blessing. It's the grace of God to you that David gets up and acts and does all. You know, he used to do this before he was born again. He'd come to church and he'd dance and he'd carry on and he'd cut a rug. He did all that. And that just tore people up because here's David out there running with the devil. He'd come in here and he'd dance in the Holy Spirit over and over. And you know what Brother Jerry did about it? Nothing. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't lead him to do anything, because the Holy Spirit knew that it was exposing your pride. Your religious pride. Well, I don't think you should be doing this. I don't like this going on. And some people left because of it. Because they were so worried about Brother Dave. God's doing this on purpose. Because if without that, you'd be sitting here thinking you're ready for the rapture. And you're not. Because if you were, he wouldn't be wasting our time preaching this. See, God doesn't take away the temptation. He gives you overcoming power. I cannot tell you how many times I have prayed about sexual lust in my own life. And I pray, God, if you just give me married, put me to the right person, it would be so much easier. He said, I know. That's what Paul said to do. If you have your burn with lust, he said, get married. Guess who never got married? And I prayed and I prayed and I struggled. And then one day I put it in God's hand and said, you know what, God? I ain't going to struggle anymore. Goodness sakes, I know for sure I cannot overcome this. I cannot do this on my own. I was always finding myself in trouble. I'll just be honest. You know what he did? He gave me a job where 80% of the people I work with are beautiful women. I'm serious. I train all these young girls right out of college. They're beautiful. And then you know what else? To add insult to injury, he gave me a secondary job where I drive some of the most beautiful, sexy women around Nashville. You should see the people get in my car. Goodness. You know what happens when that happens? Something takes over. I said, you poor thing. I don't say that. You poor thing. This is all you have. Enjoy it, because in a few years, you'll be just wrinkled and old, and your value just decreases, because this is all your value you have. I feel sorry for him, and my head just turns away. I'm not struggling. Don't look, Phil. Don't look, Phil. No, sir. There's a power of God in my life.
Yes. You're talking about freedom.
Phil Munger here to turn his hand without even struggling. Whatever you have a problem with, I promise you.
Oh, man.
You can be completely free.
If you want to be.
If you want to be. You say, you don't think that's attractive? Oh, yeah. My own nature, these old natural eyes, I look at it. I remember just a couple weeks ago, I sat just to let someone on my car. I was waiting to drive, and here comes this girl, about 18 or 20 drive, walking across the road, and she would just, I mean, it would just almost take your breath away how attractive it was. I was like, goodness sakes. And I just thought, oh, you poor thing. And I looked away. The old Phil would have struggled. You can be free, folks.
Yes, sir.
I promise you. If you want to, the price isn't too high. Life or death. Are you insane? It's insanity. You can't be in your right mind. God didn't take away the beautiful women. He gave me power. He said, let me talk. It's not like an anointing that you feel all the time. It's a faith that you walk in, and when I need that power, it's there. And sometimes it's so close that there is this sense that you can walk with Christ. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you don't feel anything at all, but there that much. What do you do? Right there it is. Sometimes it seems it's not there. And you're like, God, what about this? What? And you say, oh, he promised to take care of my needs, but I'm not worried about it. And you just walk forward anyways and say, you don't start, oh my goodness, maybe I don't have that. Oh my goodness, I don't want him to do. Oh no, is he going to leave me now? Oh my, well, how is he going to handle that? I'm going to call somebody, talk this over. Oh my. Has he ever failed you in the past? He let bad things happen. That's not him failing you. That's just life. Brother Branham said a sexy woman will send more people to hell than all the beer joints in the country. So here's what's going to happen on Judgment Day. All these guys are going to stand up and say, well, God, in Laodicea, those women are so sexy, I couldn't even help myself. I couldn't help but lust. And God said, yeah, you're right. You couldn't help yourself. The Holy Spirit could have helped you, but you couldn't help yourself. But that's her fault. She enticed me. So yeah, you're right. But you still go to hell. Well, David upsets me. He tears me up. That might be right. But if you don't overcome that, you still go to hell. There are no excuses, especially for this group of people who have had the word preached to them. And it's been proven. So folks, if you're determined to hold on to your own stuff and you prepare for the tribulation, I don't know how you go about doing that, but you're fooling yourself, you're deceiving yourself if you think you're going in the rapture. He said, well, Brother Phil, if I miss the rapture, I'll just make it a foolish virgin. I don't think so. Because a rich young ruler, like I just said, in hell, he lifted his eyes. Why? Because he had the word of God spoken to him directly, and he turned it down. See, Brother Branham gives some, in the Bible, he talks about some of the people who make up the foolish virgins, and people who reject Christ, like the word spoken to him, see, he said those are good to the brother. Well, if just being nice to people was that there'd be a lot of people going in. It's not just being nice, it's being good to the brother. Not as a religion, just because of respect towards them. And you, when you disrespect Brother Jerry in the ministry, don't pretend you're being good to the brother. Do you hear what I said? When you don't even respect the ministry of Christ, and you're going to say, I'll get in as being good to the brethren because I was a help in the church. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, yeah. Esau was good to the brethren. He was good to his daddy, prophet. Judas was good to the brethren. He took care of him. He took care of Jesus. He made sure Jesus had a place to sleep. He had food to eat. He took care of the money. Judas was good to the brethren. You're not getting in like that, folks. The other way, Brother Branham says, if you've been deceived by false preachers, well, you don't have that excuse either, do you? No, you don't. You're either coming through the rapture or you're not going to make it, folks. God will give you the opportunity for the rapture. Look where he's put you. Right here. Where the rapture, we're being literally preached to perfect faith and perfect love. Right into the rapture itself. And some people are sitting in here and rejecting it because of Brother Jerry or Brother David or whatever other reason. You think you're going to get in as foolish virgin? Deceiving yourself, folks. Now, there might be some people in here, and this is maybe even worse than the others.
I hate saying this. The Holy Spirit never preaches to them. There's never a pull. I preach many times, I walk out, and I think about what's going on. I wonder if that person was there. And I think about, yeah, they were there, but I never once was drawn to them when I was preaching. Most of the time, I'm drawn to different people throughout the service, and I can. There's this pull, but some people, there's not there at all. And I think, why do they come to church? Is it just a social thing because a family does? Maybe they're a dime, maybe they're a nickel, maybe they're fulfilling their part. They might make us foolish virgin, I don't know. I'm not sitting here deciding who will and who won't, but I tell you what, if God has dealt with you by preaching the word directly to you and you turn that down, you're not gonna make it as a foolish virgin. There's no word for it. So Judas is gonna stand on judgment day. Judas, why did you betray Jesus Christ? And he might go through a whole litany of excuses. Well, my dad raised me this way. I was deceived by this pastor. This happened and I lost and whatever. But the problem is, we're going to see his thoughts. If you stand there in judgment, we're going to see all your thoughts. You know what it's going to come down to? Judas is going to have to stand there and we're going to see everything. The reason why, he's going to have to turn and say, I see, I betrayed Jesus Christ. If you miss the rapture on judgment day, you might have every excuse in the book, but it's going to come down to, I missed the rapture because I wanted to. I was deceived because I wanted to be deceived. I did not want to accept the truth. The rich young ruler sat there and began to say, I rejected life because I wanted to. That's all. It's a choice. If you are fulfilling the role of the rich young ruler, it's because you want to. If you are a made believer, it's because you want to. Look in the mirror and you say, well, Brother Phil, you're calling me a make believer. You're calling me a rich young ruler. I'm just giving the characteristics of it. I'm holding up the mirror. You decide just for yourself who you are. Why are you getting mad at me? It's your choice. Why are you mad at the ministry? You're making a choice. I saw something a while back on AIDS and how gay people, they knew it was causing AIDS, but they did not want to give up their lifestyle. Oh, we're not going to give up our lifestyle. We're going to, even though they're getting AIDS from it. But then you know what happened? They're turning around like, nobody cares. There's this guy, he was crying and everyone was so torn. Older people are dying, nobody cares. They should be spending millions of their dollars to buy a cure for us so we can continue with our lifestyle without having to change and without it killing us. Nobody cares about us. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It is ridiculous that people sitting in here blaming someone else for going to hell. God ain't playing, by the way. Have you noticed that? What do you want? You get what you want. Brother Bram said you fight your way to heaven or you fight your way to hell. You're fighting your way someplace. You're fighting your way someplace. People sit at a ministry they don't have confidence in. I don't get that at all. Well, I've always gone to church here. Well, that ain't gonna stand up at the judgment, folks. You sit under a pastor that you don't have confidence in the way he's running the church. You don't think more about your soul than that? I don't like the way Brother, and you know, people said this, they said, well, I don't have anything wrong with the way Brother Jerry preaches, it's just the way he runs the rest of the church. That's one of the more ludicrous statements you can make. Is he being led by the Holy Spirit or not?
Is it just convenient? That way you go to church here? You're playing church. Why would you play with the rapture? Why would you play with, why not go find some place where you have confidence in the ministry to know that you're going to the rapture? What are you going to do the second after you realize you missed the rapture? What is going to go through your mind the second after you realize that the bride is gone and you're still here? What are you going to do? What's going to go through your mind? What was worth it? What was worth it? Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. I wanted the rocks to fall on you and hide you. Oh my goodness, folks. And you know what the hell part of it that's going to be the worst? Is you know that just very close in another dimension, we are having the time of our lives. And you missed it by that close. Because of Brother Jerry or Brother David. And you don't want to be humiliated. And God didn't accept your efforts. God didn't accept your religion. And why don't you have confidence in the ministry? What has Brother Derry done wrong to prove the ministry is wrong? Because he makes mistakes as a human being? Well, you need to throw away Brother Brandon then too. You need to throw away Paul and Peter and John. And definitely throw away me. So what's your excuse for not having confidence in the ministry? What's your excuse for finding fault with the way Brother Jerry does things? Well, I don't like the way he handles his grandkids. Well, I don't like the way he's doing this. Well, I don't like his relationship with... Well, he doesn't do this the way I want him to. You're a make-believer. Sitting back there, finding an excuse not to have to come subject to the ministry anymore because he preached you to a place where you stop cold. And so instead of going through and pushing through that, you got to step back there and find excuses why you're okay not going on. So I pay tithe. I should have a say in the way things are done. You do have a say. It's called a vote. If you pay tithe here and you support it with your attendance and tithe, you have one vote for any election we have. That's all you have. This isn't like a board meeting where we all sit around and decide, Brother Jerry, do you want us to, what are we going to have preach on, Brother Jerry? What I want you to preach on? I have people tell me what to preach. Are you serious? Who do you think you are? You're telling the Holy Spirit why he needs to preach? You think I just sit back in the room and I come up with my own messages? You think I would preach this if I had to come up with this? Telling me what to preach. I don't even tell myself what to preach. I've had this on my heart for 6 weeks or so. I was out in Oregon, and I would be there just driving down the road, and this would come to me, and I'd be going through, and I'm telling you how many times I pray, God, don't make me have to preach that. Let this be fixed. Don't let me have to preach this. It's too hard. You know what he said? Don't you love him enough to tell him the truth? I didn't ask anymore not to preach it, I don't think. Well, not very much. If this sets somebody free that you go in the rapture, you think this ain't worth it? And if you all hate me from this day forward for saying these things, you think it ain't worth it? Because when I walk out of here by the grace of God, that bird's going to be gone because I told you. That's all I'm required to do. Paying tithes. All of a sudden you get to run the church. No, you don't. You get to fulfill your role. You know what else we want to do? We want to go, well, I know there's a problem here. Let's have a meeting in the back room with the pastor. You know why it's happened back there? People go back there and literally lie to his face. I was sitting there listening to it. And then they get caught on it, so they change their story a little bit. Well, yeah, I guess maybe, okay, yeah, whatever. And what it is
If you're looking for, you're looking for a chance to justify yourself. People go back there and kind of justify, well, this is why I'm doing it because he's doing that. How many times have I heard people justify their behavior because of David Horner? Getting right down to nitty gritty, huh? Well, if David would quit doing that, I can't help the way I act. I'm not going to do this if David is doing that. Okay, well, then miss the rapture. Don't worry about it. You say, well, you act like David's the same. Don't do anything wrong. David has done more wrong than the rest of us put together, probably. I am not defending him doing wrong at all. All I'm saying is, you will not have that as an excuse for missing the rapture. You cannot use that. On Judgment Day, you're going to feel like a total fool. That man you worship kept you out of the rapture. And see, the thing is, he's gotten born again. His life has changed. You don't, oh, I don't know about that. He still makes, oh my goodness. If you can't tell the difference in Brother David, you are so spiritually blind, you might as well just crawl out of here like a worm. It's true. We'll have a meeting. And some people come up to the front and at the altar get prayed for with the same agenda. Why? Well, I know I'm wrong. I got to do this. But, you know, you have to understand this is going on. And they sit up here and they try to explain away why they're acting the way they are. They give their excuses. Are you serious? You think God doesn't know the reality of what's really happening? You think God's, oh, well, you know what? You're right. You do have an excuse for having that attitude. I'll accept that. You need a relationship with God is what you need.
Amen.
When Brother Brandon had private interviews, you think those people went in there and started giving all their excuses why they had to behave the way they did? They went back there and they sat there and they listened to the voice of God and they waited till God spoke. Then what they did with that was up to them. That's why you come up front to be prayed for, to hear what God has to say. You come up, you go to the back room, talk to the pastor. Look, some of you, I'll just be honest, some of us are past the point of going to the back room. It's past the point of being prayed for up here. It's where you need to get along with Jesus Christ. Because nothing else has worked. God giving you this opportunity and this opportunity and this opportunity and this opportunity, and yet you still go on in your own way. You know how I know that's the truth? Because the problem still exists to this day. So hold yourself accountable, folks. Look in the mirror, be honest with yourself. Some of you folks are depending on the relationship the minister has with God. Some of you come to church and you get prayed for and you accept what's said, you come to be prayed for and you walk in faith and it has the exact effect that God wants it to have. Some of you come to church and I don't think you ever listened for the voice of God, wouldn't hear it, wouldn't understand it if you heard it. Recognize it. And some of you come and hear the voice of God speak to you, and you know you're wrong, so you come to get prayed for, but you never change because you're treating the ministry like a Catholic priest. As long as a Catholic priest has a relationship with God and he's holy, and he prays for me, then I'm okay. But you go out of here and you never make a difference. You never change. You keep going in the same old rut. That's why you keep coming up over and over for the same thing to be prayed for. Look what you're doing and find out why it's not working.
Second.
You've been doing this for years, it's not working. There's something you're doing something wrong. You have the wrong attitude, the wrong approach. Now, I'm not talking about claiming a promise and walking in faith and it might take years for it to be fulfilled. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about just getting born again for one thing. But if you're walking in faith and you know it's faith and it's not you depending on your own self and your own religion, your own, you're making no excuses, God's going to fulfill his word in your life. It might take a long time, but I'm talking about the people who come up with the same problem. I'm still struggling with this. I have this problem. I have this problem. And you go out and you don't see any difference in their life. They still don't come to church except once in a while. They still don't, they haven't changed their attitude. They're still complaining about the same things. They haven't changed their attitude. They haven't changed their attitude. They haven't changed their attitude. The right mental approach, the right attitude will bring the word of God to pass in your life, saith your prophet. So if something is wrong, it's your attitude. Come Thursday night if you care about going to the rapture. We're going to talk about your attitude, what you're thinking. I know some of you can't make it on Thursday for different reasons, but some of you can. You don't come anyways. And you act like you care about the rapture and you can't even make it to church when the church is open, when you had the opportunity. We have a brother sitting here, he's probably in pain. He still tries to come as soon as, any time he can. Brother Wayne is always in pain for the last several years. You don't see him coming to church unless he's too sick to make it. What is your excuse? And then you sit here and your mind is 1,000 miles away just daydreaming about whatever. You can't wait till Phil to quit preaching so we can go to lunch. Go to lunch! Quit defiling this body of Christ. You're going to leave sometime. You might as well leave now. Make believers in our midst. Judas in our midst. Oh yeah, it's supposed to be. Brother Brandon said they stick around to the very end. You think we're going to be immune from that? Brother Phil, now I'm on tour because now I don't know if I'm a Judas or not. Well, find out for goodness sakes. Why will you dither between? Why are you just dangling in the middle? I don't know if I'm a Judas or not. I might be a Judas. I don't know if I am. Oh, I'm so tore up. I need to call my mom and cry to her. Does it not bother you enough to do something about it? Do you not care about eternal life? You have life and death. You're looking at them right there, and you are making your choice. This is affecting some of you the right way. I can see it on your faces. Some of you, it's not. I wonder if some people here, if they really knew how freeing it is to walk in faith, what it would be like for them. I don't know that some of you have walked in faith a day of your life. Because you refuse to change your attitude. You refuse to take the voice of God. Lord God, I've delivered what you put on my heart. The mirror has been wiped clean so you can see clearly. Do you dare to look into it and be honest with yourself and identify what you see? Do you care enough to do that? Do you care? He cares. That's why he brought this message. He said, I don't want you to be lost. I'm not doing this to make you feel bad. I'm doing this to show that, hey, one thing thou lackest. I hope this voice haunts you. I hope you can't sleep. I hope you're so miserable.
Man,
until you get down on your knees and you say, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. Let this word not return void. Let it have the effect it's supposed to have. And for those people who should have been here and they're not here this morning, God have mercy on your souls because it's been preached and you will be responsible for it. You're my friends.
It's all on your shoulder. I can't save you. Jesus Christ himself can't save you unless you give your life to him. And he's up here at this altar this morning. He said, won't you come and talk it over with me? So we're going to do a little something non-traditional this morning. I hope it don't offend you, but if it does, get over it. Usually at this time, we start playing some music. We have people come up who need to be prayed for, and we pray, and they give their excuses, and they pour out their heart, and they pray, and they walk away, and so many of them don't ever change because they got prayed for, so they feel good again. Well, this morning, we're not going to do that. If you need to talk this over with Jesus Christ, you need to tell him, you need to talk to him and tell him why you haven't surrendered, why you're struggling with this, why David is making you mad. You need to talk to him about that. Right here. The rest of us are leaving and we're going to lunch. You want to go on the rapture? I'll see you Thursday.